It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It's a cloudless, bright blue sky day here in Austin, Texas at 1906 UTC. That's right, we're just a little bit behind schedule, but life is good. I went and washed my hands and all of that. So, hey, you know what? Squeaky clean news. A lot of death and destruction out there, so don't worry, we'll get to it. Walking to the shady spot. Presently 20 degrees outside, high of 21, low 6. With this clear skies, it gets cooler at night, which I appreciate. I leave the fan on in the window, and then since it's an apartment building, it's kind of funny. I feel kind of bad because my neighbors have their heaters on, and I've got my window open, blowing cold air in, and so, like, they're heating my apartment up. And it's like, but anyway, I'm able to get the room down to, you know, 68 or so Fahrenheit, which is cool enough for me to sleep. I'm a cold person. I'll sleep when it's, if it's like, anyway, I always like to sleep when it's cold, but, all right, we made it to the shady spot. Let me launch Calm. What's Calm? Oh man, well, you're missing out if you don't know what Calm is, but here's the story for you. Oh, sorry. I can see across the expanse of trees to the next campus, to the new campus, and on the roof of their parking garage, I can see the roof of the parking garage, and it appears it's not, somebody's parked or has placed something reflective, and so I'm getting just flashed with sparkle, like they're shining a light at me. It's very distracting. Anyway, Calm. What's Calm? Well, Calm is short for Commode Chat. And Commode Chat's the chat program that SDF loves to use for a non-radio and most other communications. If you need real live Calm communication, you're going to launch Commode Chat. All you got to do is type C-O-M, press enter, then you press G for go to, and then type a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word. You can also do man space commode to get all the Calm goodness, like how to set up your Calm RC file. And if you do that, then whenever you type C-O-M, it'll just automatically take you to a non-radio, and then you'll be hanging out with all the cool people, like X1 and Jeff, as well as Handy C and Sazo, Thrigs in the house, and Poplar, hey, like the tree, and yeah, looks like everybody's here. We're having a good time. Also, you can chat on XMPP or Jabber if you connect to conference.jabber.sdf.org. You can launch Mate from the terminal, from your prompt, to set up or sign up for Jabber XMPP access. Up, we got a van turning into the parking lot. This will be interesting. I realized why it looks like people that are turning into this parking lot always look so confused. It's because about, I don't know, 10 yards from where I can see, there's a big arrow and all the vehicles have to go to the left. And then there's a traffic circle, basically, that spits you back out. Anyway, coffee's not illegal yet. Yep, yep. All right, so anyway, enough of the hyper-local traffic and news for you. Let's get into it. There's a lot of death and destruction, like I said. So we begin with a pretty great headline, if I do say. Home near Washington, D.C. explodes as police surround armed suspect. That's right. If you're surrounded by police, the best thing to do is explode. In Diablo, that was called the Nova spells. If you cast the Nova spell, it would be an explosion outward from you in all directions. A huge explosion has destroyed at least one home in a suburb of Washington, D.C. as police searched a home, authorities said. Officers were called to the residence in Arlington, Virginia at 16:45 local time on Monday, which is 21:45 GMT. Oh, we got another truck turning into the parking lot. It's quite a busy time. We're having a holiday party tonight, I guess. officers were called there. When they tried to enter, shots were fired, followed by a big explosion. Officers on the scene reported only minor injuries, while the suspect inside the home is unaccounted for. He was literally blown to bits. The fire department extinguished the blaze. The incident started when the suspect fired a flare gun 30 to 40 times. Police say that it didn't cause any injuries or property damage. Officers then got a search warrant for the home and tried to speak to the suspect over the phone and loudspeakers, but he didn't respond. As officers were attempting to execute a search warrant at the residence, the suspect discharged several rounds inside the home. Suspect fired shots from what was believed to be a firearm, according to the police. What they believe, they don't know what he shot, but you know what? It was good enough. Hey, we've got a Tesla, unusual color. They got a turn signal, but they did not stop at the stop sign. Interesting. It's one of the things that I felt like I feel like electric cars should have, like, that AI built in where it's like, hey, this is a stop sign. You have to stop. And it just makes you stop at the stop sign. That would be kind of cool. But I don't think it's going to happen. Anywho, some residents, let's see, so they got a search warrant. Some residents were evacuated while others were told to shelter in place. One eyewitness said before the explosion he saw several flares. He said he saw things that would last 15 to 20 seconds. In a post, another person posted, "This is very scary, and my profound thanks go to first responders." So yeah, no other word yet on why the house blew up, but it blew up. So if it was me, I wouldn't be super surprised if he just turned on all the gas and then shot some flares at the gas. I don't know. Up, we got a car careening really into the other lane. Almost hit this truck, who then promptly decided to go ahead and stop at the stop sign. Not really stopping very long, though, continuing to edge along. Oh, there we go. One of my favorite things about people who run the stop sign is they run the stop sign very slowly, causing me distress. It distresses me because I'm like, oh man, you're going to die. Anyway, don't worry. We got more death and destruction for you. What do we got here? A machine at the office. Cool. Okay, coffee machines. Topic of, if you got coffee opinions, jump in on comm. We got some chat. Nigeria mistakenly killed worshippers at a religious festival. If only if... you know what? I'm not going to make the joke. At least 85 civilians were killed in Kaduna State, northwest Nigeria, in an airstrike during a Muslim religious celebration on Sunday. The civilians were killed in a bombing mishap, President Bola Tinubu said, without giving a death toll. State Governor Uba Sani said they were mistakenly killed by a military drone targeting terrorists and bandits. More than 60 people were admitted to a hospital for treatment. The defense ministry termed the operation a needless tragedy, adding that a routine mission against militants inadvertently affected members of the community. Nigeria's military has for years been battling armed criminals and militants who'd been operating in part of northern Nigeria, raiding villages and kidnapping residents. The airstrike happened when villagers from Tundunbiri gathered for a religious festival on Sunday evening. The head of the army, Lieutenant General Taurid Lagbaha, has apologized to the residents and paid a condolence visit to the village. He expressed regret about the unfortunate mishap, describing it as a disheartening occurrence. He said the troops were carrying out aerial patrols when they observed a group of people and analyzed and misinterpreted their pattern of activities to be similar to that of bandits. Seems like a bad idea. The governor has called for an investigation. The president has called for an investigation. It's worthy of note that the casualties range from children, women, and the elderly. One who witnessed what happened told the BBC that there were two attacks. The aircraft dropped a bomb at the venue. It destroyed and killed our people, including women and children. The second bomb was dropped on some of us who went to bring dead bodies of the victims of the first blast. We lost about 34 people in my family, and we have 66 people injured in the hospital. A woman who saw the aftermath of the bombing told the BBC that bodies were strewn all over the place. Checking in on comm real quick. The machine dispenses milk and sugar. Sugar water. I wish I could get, if I could just get some good milk in my coffee, I would drink the coffee at work more. Seizo gets his gets their caffeine from cola. And hot chocolate. Ratsu's allergic to coffee these days. Oh man. Hey, we got a motorcycle driving by. The guy was riding with no hands. Good job. Anyway, yeah, I try to not drink coffee after 2 p.m. So we'll see what happens. But I have been drinking a lot more strong, high caffeine drinks like teas. Like there's a yerba mate tea. It has 160 milligrams of caffeine per serving. And there's 2 servings per can. So it's like 300 something milligrams of caffeine. And it's like, oh, maybe that's why I'm not sleeping. I drink one of those and a cold brew for every day. Anyway, yeah, the military, not doing so hot in Nigeria. But don't worry, sometimes it's not just your own people killing you. Gang violence is increasing in Sweden, tarnishing their peaceful image. Gangland shootings and bombings that have plagued Sweden's biggest cities have spread to quieter suburbs and towns, shattering its reputation as a safe and peaceful nation. Half an hour north of central Stockholm, Upplands Bro features lakeside boat clubs, copper-red wooden villas, and apartments flanked by pine and spruce trees. But a 14-year-old boy was found dead in a forest in August, and since January, there have been several shootings and bombings targeting houses and apartments. It's awful. We've been woken up by explosions in the neighborhood, and it's scary, says 42-year-old Anna Peterson, who lives in Bro and has 3 children. It's funny to me that the city's name is Bro, but whatever. Sweden has been a European hotspot for gang-related shootings and bombings for several years, but recently the violence shifted beyond low-income, vulnerable urban areas, and police say one reason is that members of gangs are increasingly targeting rivals' relatives. Oh man, got another box truck coming in. Lots of deliveries today. Detectives suspect some of the latest violence has been organized by criminal leaders based in other countries, including Turkey and Serbia. More than 50 people have been killed in shootings so far in 2023, and there have been more than 140 explosions. Last year, more than 60 people died in gun violence, the highest number on record. Of course, to point that out, more than 60 people die every day from gun violence in the United States. Oh, we got a car going to turn. Oh, they just kind of, yep, careening into the general direction of the road. Somebody trying to cross the street. Let's see what happens. Oh, there is oncoming traffic, but they are making it. You could probably hear me, so I'm not going to keep talking. All right. What's happening? What's next? Well, there's more death and destruction, of course. Horror in New York City as man murders 4 family members, sets home on fire, and stabs police. Now this, see you later, Cezo. All right. So, here we go. This is just in time for the best headline, too. Horror in New York City as man murders 4 family members, sets home on fire, and stabs police. A New York man murdered 4 family members, including 2 children, as well as attacking 2 police officers and setting the home on fire. A 61-year-old woman remains in hospital in critical condition after Courtney Gordon attacked 7 people in Queens on Sunday morning. Gordon, 38, was shot and killed by a police officer as he left the crime scene with luggage. Family members say they tried to get Gordon help for mental health issues several months ago. He had lost his job as a rideshare driver when his car broke down, and his family says that he was on medication but had stopped taking it. 2 police officers were slashed by Gordon at the scene. Were released from hospital on Sunday night. Officials say an 11-year-old girl was dead on the ground outside the home. Firefighters had to put out a couch that was set on fire inside the home, and the bodies of a 12-year-old boy and a 44-year-old woman and a 30-year-old man were found inside. The suspect had a previous arrest for strangulation during a domestic incident. His cousin said that he was shocked at the violence, but had seen disturbing signs from the suspect. He was like, he's just very defensive towards everybody, and verbally, you can see that the clues of what he did, you're just seeing it. Like, he would yell very loud, top of his voice, so it's like, kind of, would bring everybody into this kind of, let me not talk to him, because I don't know if he's going to know what he's talking about, said Sean McCoy. Of course, the guy's name is Courtney. Courtney's is more commonly a woman's name. I know a guy that's named Courtney, it is kind of funny that they kept calling him Gordon by his last name because I guess they want to be sure and portray this as a vicious, mean man and not an abused woman or something. But don't worry, we got still a couple more deaths to talk about. A Boston woman was killed by a shark while paddleboarding in the Bahamas. An American newlywed was killed by a shark the day after her wedding while paddleboarding in the Bahamas. That, my friends, is what we call insurance money, insurance fraud. No, it might really be a tragic loss of life. But, hey, you know what? 50%, The female victim, who is from Boston, tied the knot on Sunday and was attacked on Monday morning in the waters less than a mile off the west end of New Providence Island. Authorities say the unidentified victim was in the water with a relative who was not injured in the attack. The type of shark involved in the attack wasn't immediately clear. Shortly after 11:15 a.m., police were notified that a female visitor from Boston, Massachusetts, USA, was attacked by a shark. Royal Bahamas Police Force said in a statement, according to initial reports, the female, along with a male relative, were paddleboarding just at the rear of a resort in Western Providence, about 3/4 mile out from the shoreline, when she was bitten by the shark. Both of the paddleboarders were rescued by a lifeguard in a boat, but the woman, who had serious injuries to the right side of her body, died at the scene. So, trouble, yes. So, bad news, for sure. All right, what else? Who else is dying? Well, a child is dying, that's who. A wolf-dog hybrid kept as a family pet kills a child in Alabama. Not really a huge surprise, but here we go. A wolf-dog hybrid that was being kept as a pet has killed a 3-month-old baby in Alabama. The incident took place around 1 p.m. in Shelby County, Chelsea, when deputies received a 911 call about an animal attack. The infant was taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead due to injuries suspected to have been caused by an animal attack. The animal, which was being kept as a pet by the family of the infant, was euthanized at the request of law enforcement and has been transported to the Alabama State Diagnostics Laboratory in Auburn for further examination. Chelsea Mayor Tony Picklesmeyer offered his condolences to the family. So, yeah, and it's not illegal to own a wolf dog in Alabama. Chelsea's mayor offered a word of caution to residents following the incident. Yeah, surprise, surprise. A wolf dog is not a pet. But, hey, you know what? More power to you if you want to try and do it. Oh, golly. Okay. Well, it's 1923 UTC, so we've only got 6 minutes and some change before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe comes along. This is a fun show that airs every goddamn day right here on Anon Radio at 1930 UTC. What is the Dubious Goals Committee? Well, that's hard to describe. It's a little dubious. I do know that some people have been cured by just listening to the Dubious Goals Committee. Sometimes you need to put the headphones on the affected body part or maybe under the bed of the person who you're trying to help. But yeah, Dubious Goals Committee provides spiritual and physical healing to anything that you might need. If you need larger things, like if you maybe, like, I don't know, if your house is going to get foreclosed or something, you may have to play Dubious Goals Committee on a larger speaker, preferably like in the attic or on the roof. Either of those ways, just stick around, listen to the Dubious Goals Committee, and check it all out. Jeff pointing out that so many humans get eaten by dogs every year compared to sharks. Yeah, that's a good point. Shark attacks are pretty rare, but dog attacks aren't so rare. So yeah, pretty sad there. Stick around. I want to mention here also that DJ Leon G is at 2000 at 20 hours. And at 22 hours, we've got Organized Chaos. And tonight's DJ Northern Lights, Praise Then Darkness. This is a great little show that's been running every Tuesday at 2300 UTC. And then the Lispy Gopher Show with Screwtape is happening at midnight UTC. So check it all out. Go to anonradio.net for the full schedule. You can press equal sign and com too if you are so inclined. Whew. All right. Well, let's talk about science and technology. We're going to skip over some of the other kind of news. We'll get to it eventually, one day maybe. So let's talk about some hacks that happened. Genetic testing firm 23andMe admits to hackers accessing DNA data of 7 million users. The genetic testing company has said that nearly 7 million people have been affected by a security breach that put DNA ancestry information into the hands of hackers who broke in early October. On Friday, the California-based company said in a regulatory filing that the personal data of 0.1% of customers, or about 14,000 individuals, had been accessed by threat actors. But the filing warned that hackers were also able to access a significant number of files containing profile information about other users' ancestry. The company confirmed to TechCrunch on Saturday that because of an opt-in feature that allowed DNA-related relatives to contact each other, the true number of people exposed was 6.9 million. Or just less than half of 23andMe's 14 million reported customers. Another group of about 1.4 million people who opted into 23andMe's DNA relatives feature also had their family tree profile information accessed. That information includes names, relationships, labels, birth year, self-reported location, and other data. 2 months ago, Wired reported that a sample of data points from 23andMe accounts were exposed on Breach Forums, a black hacking group, a crime forum. Hackers claimed the sample contained 1 million data points exclusively about Ashkenazi Jews. This is similar to the breach we talked about not too long ago. Of course, there's been a ransomware attack at a bank. Where? Well, a ransomware attack on China's biggest bank disrupts the U.S. Treasury market. The Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, China's U.S. arm, was hit by a ransomware attack that disrupted trades in the U.S. Treasury market on Thursday. Latest in a string of victims ransom-demanding hackers have claimed this year. ICBC Financial Services, the U.S. unit of China's largest commercial lender by assets, said it was investigating the attack that disrupted some of its systems and making progress towards recovering from it. China's foreign ministry said on Friday that the lender was striving to minimize risk, impact, and losses after the attack. ICBC has been closely monitoring the matter and has done its best in emergency response and supervisory communication. So, ransomware attacks, if you don't know by now. Oh, we got a car turning in on into the road. Two cars. This isn't going to go well. They have turned into the wrong place. Ransomware attacks involve hackers locking up a victim's systems and demanding payment to unlock it, often also stealing sensitive data for extortion later. More ransomware. Hey, welcome, welcome one and all. Thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging out. All right. Sorry, I lost my train of thought for a second. We got 2 minutes to go, so I'll just give you the other headlines real quick. Sellafield nuclear site. We talked about them being hacked yesterday. Well, they're leaking. Sellafield nuclear site has a leak that could pose a risk to the public. The hazardous nuclear site has a worsening leak from a huge silo of radioactive waste that could pose a risk to the public. Concerns over safety at the crumbling building, as well as cracks in a reservoir of toxic sludge known as Bravo 30 or B-30, have caused diplomatic tensions with countries including the U.S., Norway, and Ireland, which fear Sellafield has failed to get a grip of the problem. The leak of radioactive liquid from what is from one of the highest nuclear hazards in the U.K., known as Magnox Swarf Storage Silo, is likely to continue to 2050. Oh my gosh. Potentially significant consequences if it gathers pace, risking contaminating groundwater. So, danger, Will Robinson. I'll let you know how if there's any more on that. A moon-based microreactor concept has been proposed by Rolls-Royce. It was unveiled. This is the result of the UK Space Agency-backed research program. And it was unveiled with the company saying it aims to have a microreactor ready to send to the moon by the early 2030s, which is very cool. But we're running out of time, so just to let you know, the Chandrayaan-3 propulsion system was returned back to orbit, which is a big win for reusability. And China's youngest ever astronaut blasted off to space a couple weeks ago. We just didn't catch it in time. China's youngest ever crew of astronauts has taken off on a six-month mission to its space station. Anyway, chill out. Listen to Dubious Goals Committee. I'll be back tomorrow. Dubious Goals time. Dubious Goals. Welcome, Pizza Pal. See you later, Havoc, and everybody.